This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad that you're joining us today. We have a really exciting guest with us and a topic that I'm excited to get into because I think that what we're going to talk about today is something that we do not often connect God's word to, and maybe even something that we don't talk to each other about. So it's going to be a great conversation. But before we get started, let me introduce our guest today, Miss Rachel Gilbert. Rachel, hi, how are you?
I am good. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. And I do need, you know, we went through some technical issues just to hear each other. So I'm just thrilled to hear your voice right now, Rachel.
I know. I'm excited. My heart's racing. Yay! Like, okay, we can do this.
And so for those of you who are just meeting Rachel, let me tell you a little more about her. Rachel is a former Oklahoman turned Texan by her husband, which Rachel, we have that in common. I wasn't a former Oklahoman, but I am turned Texan by my husband, so I understand that. She is also a homeschooling mama of three, a business owner, and exercise physiologist. She is a co-host of the Declare Conference, author, host of the Real Talk with Rachel podcast, and women's conference speaker. Rachel loves Jesus and likes to run Spartans, half marathons, and other races with her husband. She is passionate about seeing women walk in freedom in all areas of their lives. And I'm thrilled for you to be here. And right now, I can't get over the Spartans and the half marathon and other races thing. Like, wow. That is the Spartan. Is that the one where you crawl through the mud and things like that?
Yes. And you reading that bio makes me think, oh, I need to update my website bio because I have not done a Spartan in a couple of years. But yes, that is... Those are the obstacle courses, and we used to love doing those pre-COVID. We have not done one since all the COVID craziness,
but maybe.
And I'm no longer a co-host of Declare Conference. Declare Conference is no longer, but I am now a practicing therapist.
Right, and I knew that's pretty new. That's within the last year, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, I just got my license. At the end of last year. Yeah,
that is so exciting. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And, you know, I know that one of the things, you know, I read that you're passionate about seeing women walk in freedom in all areas of their lives. And I know that specifically one of those areas that you are passionate about seeing women walk in freedom in, it has to do with our body image. So tell me more about that. I'm interested to hear how you even, you know, if there's a story behind how you even became passionate about women and having a biblical body image.
You know, I think when you look at somebody's passions, there's always a personal story behind it. That's what I have seen to be true. And it's definitely true in my own life because you might have guessed it. I have definitely been through some body image stuff myself and have found lots of victory, still struggle from time to time, but I have more tools, I feel like, in my tool belt. And that's why I just love to teach other women. You know, it's interesting. I got that undergrad degree in exercise physiology. And it was a great degree. And I actually share a little bit about this in the book that I'm writing, but my heart at the time in getting that degree was I really had disordered eating happening. And so I was in this land of obsession and trying to understand the body as very best that I could because, you know, it's a control thing. A lot of the body image stuff and eating disorders, there's lots of control and anxiety and things like that around it. And so at the time, you know, I grew up a heavier kid. And then in high school, I had an injury that caused me to lose some weight. And it's the first and only time in my life that I accidentally dropped some weight off of me, you know, wasn't even trying to, and it kind of just fell off. And it was the first time in my life I experienced being noticed. You know, I had never been asked out by a boy at that point. I had never been looked to as the pretty girl at that point. But all of a sudden, you know, within a month, I dropped about 40 pounds because of an injury, and which is a lot of weight for a high school girl, you know, to kind of lose. And I just went from being a wallflower unseen to all of a sudden everybody's going, whoa, you look amazing. You know, even teachers and coaches and of course, boys and even girls were just noticing me. And I loved the attention, just to be honest with you. I was like, wow, okay. I associated that weight loss with love and acceptance and finding my place finally. And so in that moment, really entered in this obsession of in yo-yo dieting. You know, I would starve myself and I would binge and I would exercise it in crazy hours of the night. And so I went on this journey of, you know, for the next 10 years, really struggled through all of that though on my own, because nobody knew the depths of how much of a grip it had on my heart. They saw the outward thing that, hey, Rachel looks great now. Like Rachel's in the best shape she's ever been in, and she's lost all this weight and she looks amazing. Because on the outside, I looked amazing, but on the inside, I was crumbling under the pressure of just trying to maintain this appearance. And so you know, I taught group fitness for about 10 years before I went back to school, to grad school, to become a marriage and family therapist. And in that 10 years of teaching, I started to notice, I'm not the only one who struggles with this. You know, like this is not just a me thing. This is a lots of women and even and men too. I primarily speak to women on this topic, but men also do struggle in this area of body image, disordered thinking and eating and everything. And so, yeah, that's a little bit about my story and how I got here.
Well, and I love the phrase biblical body image, because I honestly don't hear that very often. And you mentioned that you're writing a book, and I think the topic of the book that's going to be released next year. So just kind of mark your calendars if you're listening, like next year, be looking for this book from Rachel about biblical body image. But I know that the writing is kind of the last step of this process. You've been learning and studying, and God's been teaching you for so long. But that's what, when I said, I don't know that. First of all, that body image is something we talk about often. So like even in your example, you weren't talking about the inner struggles that you were facing. And then also, it's just not something that I see often that we connect the Bible to our body image. So I want to start first with what conversations have you had with other women about body image? What do you see from women in general as we approach this topic of body image? Because my guess is more of us struggle with this than we realize. And possibly, at least, I don't want to make assumptions, but I'm going to guess that more of us struggle with it than we think because we don't talk about it. Is that something that you have seen over your years of studying this and learning about this?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons we don't talk about it. I have gotten to where if you're somebody who does struggle with this, or like me, have not only struggled with it, but then you've studied it, I can see it in people's eyes when they're struggling now. You know, like I can literally, I could have a conversation with somebody and they don't have to say one word to me, and I can just see it on their face that they're struggling with it. And I think that we don't talk about it for a couple of reasons. One, our culture, and this is, and we'll talk about the biblical piece in a minute, but our culture has really just ingrained in us that it's normal to struggle with it, you know? And so it's kind of like just assumed that you're going to not love your body or not, you know, have some issues with it or be trying to always lose that last 10 pounds and things like that. And so if you think something is just normal, why would I bring it up? You know, that's kind of like me saying, let's talk about the air that we're breathing. Well, yeah, I mean, we all breathe air. So why would I need to have a conversation about the air I'm breathing if it's just so normal to struggle and actually expected? Like, it's almost weird if you hear a woman go, you know what, I love my skin I'm in. You kind of think, okay, prideful, you know, like what's wrong with you that you just love your body? Like, you know, man, you must be amazing. And, or we think that the only people who love their bodies are the models, and newsflash, models and super fit and thin people actually have some of the most intense eating disorders of all kinds. So that lie, we can go ahead and debunk that if you get to an ideal weight, you won't struggle, because that's not true. I can say that for my own life. I've been some of the smallest, most fit I've ever been. I've been most deeply ingrained in my body dysmorphia and eating disorder. So that's not true. So I think, yeah, we're not talking about it, one, because it's just the norm. Like, everybody struggles with it. What's the big whoop? You know, like, why would you talk about something everybody is doing? And then the next thing is, I think that it is a very private thing. You know, our bodies, if you think about just health in general, you know, my husband and I actually own an integrated medical practice, and people don't like to discuss their health issues. Some people do, you know, some people like to get online and talk about it, but for the most part, we're pretty private about what's going on in our body. You know, like, if I have an issue I'm dealing with, especially if it's a sensitive area, you're kind of not really wanting to go, you know, talk about it to everybody. And so I think that's the other thing, is it can be a very personal struggle, because you're kind of going, who can I trust to let in here? Because I know I've had this experience, and I know a lot of people have had this experience. You did confide in somebody that you're struggling, and their response was just made things worse, you know, like, just kind of made the situation worse. And so you kind of learned this, hit this message of, you know what, there's not many people I can trust with this message. And unfortunately, that kind of is true, which is one of the reasons I love to talk about it, because hopefully we can start having more healthy conversations about it.
I love that. And, you know, one of the things that you said has just, it drives home why we're having this conversation. Because when we have these body image issues, I think so often we place the answer for the issues in losing the next 10 pounds or getting into that size of a jean or a dress. And so we place the answer to the issue in achieving a certain body image. And what you just so beautifully said is, that's not where it's going to end. We're not going to land in this place one day where we wake up and we have a body image that is healthy because of some weight, that, you know, a number on a scale or on a tag, you know, on the size of whatever we just put on. But that won't solve our body image issues, but the Bible will. And I'm just so thankful that you stepped into this space, Rachel, because I feel like we have so much to learn here. And so I'd love, I know that you have, I don't want to forget to say this. I know that you have a free download that is a therapeutic body image coloring book, which is so much fun. And so I do want you all that are listening to know about that. You can get that on Rachel's website. It's rachelgilbert.com/biblical body image. And we'll also have that link in the show notes for you. But beyond that, that's a great place to start. And I know once you download that, you'll be able to stay connected with Rachel and continue the conversation about biblical body image. But Rachel, if we can move to this idea of having and forming a biblical body image, and if you could, where does that begin? Like, where do we even start with that?
You know, to the person listening who might feel like it's a bit corny, I just want to say, I get it. In fact, whenever God started to tap on my heart and say, Rachel, there's a different way to do this. That's a cool story for another day. And it happened when I was pregnant with our second daughter, and I went to weigh in at my doctor's appointment and had gained 10 pounds in about 2 weeks, which is way too much anyways, but, you know, for health reasons. But I just started crying. And thankfully, I had a good doctor who said, okay, he told the nurses to not let me see my weight anymore. They were still going to weigh me, but he said, don't let her see the weight. And then he just had a heart to heart with me. He's like, what's going on? I think we need to deal with something. And when I left that appointment, I just got in my car and I cried. And I was like, Lord, why? I'm so done struggling with this. Like, I'm birthing, or, you know, I'm carrying a beautiful baby, and all I can think about is the weight I'm gaining. What, you know, I just was, my heart broke over it, and I just cried, and I just said, Lord, I give this area to you. I'm done trying to white knuckle it and trying to do all the things the world is telling me to do to love my body. Because here's the thing, there's a lot of body image movements happening, right? And there's some good with them because, hey, we're having hard conversations, but they're missing the biblical piece. And we all know, if anything in our life, you can apply a lot of really great, strong, solid principles, but without the Word of God infused, it won't last. And that's just what I had seen. And so I finally just started going, okay, Lord, teach me what your word has to say. And as I started to dig into his word and come at it from an angle that was a biblical perspective, because it's not just about finding one verse, taking it out of context and applying it, you know, like I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. That's a great verse. And I'm not going to downplay that. But we have to see the whole Bible picture to actually get the full realm of freedom. And so one thing that I'm very passionate about on this area of body image, and I've infused this throughout my entire book, is what are we standing on? What foundation are we standing on? And when we stand on what the culture teaches us about our body, it's when the winds of life come and the storms come, we're going to collapse, right? And so some winds of life are, as women especially, we have seasons of life where your body doesn't look and perform the way it used to when you're 15 years old. And that's okay. You know, like, why am I comparing? My husband once said, Rachel, stop comparing yourself to other women, including your younger self. She's another woman, you know, like I'm not 15 years old anymore. And so when that wind of life comes and I have seasons of life and my body is changing, if I'm not standing on solid ground, which is the word of God, I'm going to collapse. And so that's, you know, this whole biblical perspective is, yes, diving in to see what the Bible has to say about our body, because it actually has quite a bit to say, believe it or not. But secondly, even if you're just reading the Word of God and it isn't in that particular passage talking about our physical body, when we consume the Word, all of a sudden our perspective shifts and the things that we think matter, they lose their grip over us. So whatever the struggle may be, the word just has that power to take whatever we're struggling with that day and cause that anxiety and that fear and that depression and that, you know, disordered eating just to flee in the name of Jesus.
I love that. And as you were saying the thing about your younger self, oh, do I understand that? And it's funny because we do talk a lot about comparing ourselves to each other, because I think women, we know that we do that. We're at least aware that we do that. But we don't always talk about comparing ourselves to our younger self and somehow thinking, and so here I am, I'm not going to say my age because my grandmother taught me different than that, but I'm not 15 or 22 anymore, okay? We can at least say that with certainty. I have 6 children. I have birthed 6 children. And then somehow you're comparing, you know, and I'm speaking for myself, but I have found myself comparing myself to my 20-something person who hadn't ever carried a baby. And I'm like, that is so bananas. Like, why would I look like that? I've had 6 children and aged since then. And so I love that you brought that up, because I do think that's something we don't talk about as much, but it is often on my mind. So you saying it's on yours, I would think it's probably on the minds of some of our listeners as well. And so that was kind of an aha moment for me when I realized I was doing that. But I also want to ask you this, and I'd love your honest answer. Can you love your body? I mean, do you really think that's something achievable, that we could actually look in the mirror and not dissect what we see and not be dissatisfied with what we see?
Ooh, this is a loaded question. You know, I think I have to say 2 things to this, and I am going to just be very honest. I think you can love it on a day by day basis. I think it's a decision every day when I wake up to look in the mirror and say, wow, body, thank you so much for another day. Thank you that you have given for the breath in my body. Thank you for these strong legs that can get me to and from. Thank you that you've birthed these children. So I try to make that part of my daily practice, is instead of looking in the mirror and noticing all the things that are wrong. But let me just give a caveat here. I still look in the mirror and I still notice, okay? It's one thing to notice the things that are wrong. It's another thing to dwell on them, right? It's just like if any sin, it's one thing to have the sin pop into your head of, ooh, you should do this. But then it's a whole nother thing to go, no, we're not going there. You know, like I'm not dwelling there. I'm not going to stay there. So there's that. I think it's a daily practice. And I think the more you daily practice, then yes, you can get to where you love your body that you're in. But here's the second thing I have to say, though. It's not about our body. I think that's like the biggest, the thing I see so much with our body is if we're so busy looking down at our body, down at the scale, like you said, down at the number on my jeans, I'm failing to look up at Jesus, you know, and look up at what, hey, God, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to bless today? Because it becomes so internally focused, all about me, 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 that then I have this obsession. I just feel like the enemy knows if he can get me looking inward and looking down at myself all day long, I miss so much around me. And so it really is twofold now. And I'm not saying that to say that I believe that God wants us to be, to feel good in our skin, and he cares about our body. Absolutely. He created our body. So yes, he cares about it. Yes, he cares about our struggle, but he never intended. I even think about Adam and Eve. They were never intended to have an extreme awareness of their body. They didn't become aware of their body until sin entered. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh my goodness, we're naked. You know, we need to do something about this. So God's original design for us was never for us to be obsessed over this body. This body was always originally just meant to be a temple to house his spirit. And then the enemy came in and said, ooh, let's make this obsession about how it looks. Mm-hmm. And then you'll forget to why you're even here and what really matters. So did that answer your question?
It did, in such powerful ways. I just feel like you're bringing into this conversation things that have not that I have not had brought into this conversation before. And so one of the things that I keep hearing as we're discussing this is, and you said the word dwell, and you know. In Psalms, the Bible talks about meditating on the word of God, you know, and it's like this idea of chewing on it and bringing it back up. There's multiple times in scripture that talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus. And I just love how you've connected that when we are focused on what we think is wrong with our bodies or how we look, then our eyes are not fixed on Jesus. And when our thoughts are swirling around what we think is wrong with our appearance, then our thoughts can't be chewing on and dwelling in the Word of God. And so there's that. There's this kind of shift, this replacing. And it can even be when you recognize that your thoughts are sitting in that pattern, you now have a new place to go with that. The Word of God, and not necessarily just like you said, Rachel, not necessarily just scriptures about our bodies, but just the Word of God in general and the truth of the Word. That's a place to go and replace those thought patterns, or you know, when our focus has gone there. But the other thing that you said that I love is shifting from that negative self-talk of what's wrong, what I don't like, what I see, to a thankful heart. Like the gift of a body that we can use as a vessel to be servants of God. And what a perspective shift that is. And I will say that there have been times in my life that I've been sick and, you know, in the bed, sick. Because of, like, I remember being on bed rest with my fifth child. And then I've had the flu and been sick for a few days. And the coming off of those times, being so much more aware of the gift of being able to move around and to serve. I remember being so thankful after I got off of bed rest, so thankful that I could get up and load the dishes into the dishwasher. Truly thankful that I could do laundry, that I had legs to stand on and arms to pick up dirty laundry and hands to fold that laundry. And it was because I had this time that my body wasn't available to me to use for those things, that I became so much more aware of the blessing of being able to do those things. And I love how you gave us that, Rachel, a new pattern of thought, a new approach to what we see in the mirror that I like you said, will probably take some practice, but I think can really change our approach to our body image.
Absolutely. And it will sometimes feels corny. Like I recognize that. I remember the first time I did it, I'm like, oh, this is weird. But the more you do it, and absolutely, I can relate to you. I had a Achilles tendonitis in my left foot for over a year, and I wasn't able to run or walk, which was huge for me because those were always, like I said, I like to do the half marathons and the Spartans and things like that. I lost that ability for over a year. And now when I go for a walk or run, I am just grateful that I get to move. I'm like, you know what? If I'm moving at a snail's pace right now, I don't even care because I get to be out here, you know? So it is such a perspective shift for sure.
Well, Rachel, this has just been such a blessing to me. And I feel like such a needed conversation. As we wrap up, I just wanted to ask if there was anything else. I know you are, there's probably so much that you have to say on this topic and we haven't been able to hit it all, but I did want to just ask if there was anything else that you wanted to leave our listeners with on this topic of how we can use scripture when we're struggling with our body image.
You know, as you were talking a second ago, something that I just felt impressed upon my heart to say, how I mentioned earlier that it's sometimes is hard to find a safe place to be able to talk about this kind of stuff. And I wish we had that. I pray that we can continue to move towards being a safe space for each other, you know, because you and I are talking about it right here. And but, you know, the listeners might go, I don't have anybody I can talk to. I just want to remind you, Jesus is the best safe space ever. And I think we sometimes don't talk to him about body image struggles because it feels silly. You know, it's kind of like, really, with everything else going on in the world, I'm going to bring my body image struggles to Jesus. That feels weird, but he cares, you know, like he cares. And I can't tell you the number of times that I've just been like, okay, I feel whatever, you know, I'm feeling fat today, Lord, this, I don't like how I feel like this. I don't like that my focus is on this. Will you please help redirect my thoughts right now? And he does that by leading me to scripture to read, maybe putting praise and worship music on. Sometimes it is going for a walk. I mean, this might sound a little corny, but I once heard somebody say, I believe it's Elisa Keaton, say that Jesus is my personal trainer or something like that. But I know it sounds corny, but it is so true and yet so simple that if you're struggling, just go to him and say, hey, I'm struggling right now. I really would love to just, you know, go do something that I know is not life-giving to my body, and help, let him help you redirect you. And then if you do feel like you have, you know, definitely an eating disorder or you're just really entrenched in it, I do recommend, you know, get to a Christian counselor that can help you process some of this stuff. Because a lot of this, if we can just talk about it and get it up and out, we kind of go, oh, wow, I feel so much better. Or you can see it for what it is. And a lot of times we're thinking a lot of negative thoughts all day long. And we don't realize, like, if we were to write these thoughts out, which is one of the reasons I created that biblical body image coloring book, is because I wanted women to have a safe space that they could, if they don't have somebody to talk to, you can, there's little activities on that page that you can answer the questions and then you're coloring. And in counseling, I have just noticed that when people start to do anything with their hands, whether it's writing or coloring or whatever, something just kind of unlocks, mm-hmm. and they're able to start talking about things and things start to just come up that they didn't know were there. So find a space to do that, but invite the Lord into that space. And even if you have to get one scripture a day to stand on and let that be the thing that you repeat whenever those negative thoughts and lies start popping up.
Oh, I love that. That's such practical ways to get started. And so let me say again, it's rachelgilbert.com/biblical body image. That's where you can get that coloring book. And we should say that Rachel is spelled with an extra A. So it's R-A-C-H-A-E-L, rachelgilbert.com/biblical body image. And Rachel, I just appreciate your willingness to be transparent on this subject and share your journey and what God has taught you through it. And I thank you for ministering to our listeners today and how we can use scripture when we're struggling with our body image. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Katie.
And I just pray for those of you listening today that you have heard something that you can take and apply today to help today be your best day ever. Thanks for joining us.